It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you as we roll on a Monday here. Congrats to the Cougs. They are headed to San Antonio for the Final Four, the first Final Four since 2008 that has all four number one seeds. Nice job, tournament committee and NCAA. Now, the NCAA, with your rules and your transfer portal and the NIL, may have priced the mid-majors out of participating in the Final Four ever again. But, hey, we got four number one seeds. We're going to see three high-level basketball games, we hope, in San Antonio.
Mid-majors are a good minor league for the AAA version of basketball's minor league system.
None of them are laughing at that right now because they're like, yeah, exactly. They're going to come cherry pick my roster.
Well, especially, consider because those schools are still, trying to compete with NIL and everything. And now the boosters have got to start feeling like, okay, great. So we're here to get the pay for our next disappointment to come as a freshman and get yanked away from us or what have you.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes. Kelvin Sampson with the media last night was asked, hey, what did you see? Because this was a dominant performance in the Elite Eight against Tennessee. From beginning to end, they got up by double digits early in this game and really never gave that up all game long. They ended up winning by 19, 69 to 50, the final score. Kelvin Sampson was asked by a reporter after the game, did you see anything from your team in the prior 36 hours since Friday night that showed you or told you that you were going to get this kind of performance?
Coach, you guys really jumped on them that first 5-10 minutes of the game. I'm wondering what, if anything, did you see in the last 36 hours that might have indicated that your team was ready to do that?
Well, it wasn't the last 36 hours. It's since June. We didn't get good in the last 36 hours. We just went through the Big 12 tournament, played three games there. A thing I like about this team, I don't think they overreact to anything, good or bad.
Okay. As you pointed out, you could watch that reporter just walking right in, like, there's the bear trap. Don't walk, don't step in the bear trap. No,
there's
no.
There's one thing Kelvin Sampson doesn't like. It's any kind of suggestion that his team ever was, whatever it might be. Yeah. I guess if there were a real answer to that, and maybe there was something where Kelvin Sampson just didn't want to, go into it. LJ Cryer kind of being off offensively on Friday night, then maybe there was a glint in his eye or something, just a focused determination because he was not off offensively on Sunday. That they're such a complete team in terms of who they can go to and the defense that they consistently play. That's a tough one to coach, man. Tennessee, because Tennessee just didn't. They just got destroyed.
They didn't show up.
They did not show up.
Yeah.
They're fighting to try to get back within 10. That's a rough one to go into the offseason with.
Yeah.
So good job ruining the Vols offseason.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. And this will be fun. I'm surprised. I don't know. You told me if we have Cougs that have watched. I mean, I've watched this team all year. But Cougs, you watch your team intently every minute. Am I off base here? And knowing full well that y'all might be a little biased, that spread feels weird to me. I watched that. The Duke's favored by, it opened at 5.5, immediately dropped to 4.5. So money, something came in on the Cougs right away and moved that line to 4.5. But man, I watched this team play defense, and you watch the way they're put together now too. You've got the three shooters on the outside. Uzan, Cryer, and Sharp are all really good three-point shooters. And then their bigs are all, they're athletic, they're long, they're not great offensively, but they're not poor offensively either. They're an experienced team. They're an older team. These are the types of teams that have been winning, and Duke is an inexperienced team, albeit with NBA talent on the roster, but inexperienced. I don't know, man. And the game's in San Antonio, and I think that anybody that's neutral there, you're either going to have a bunch of Cougs fans or a bunch of people rooting against Duke because they're Duke. I don't know. I'm already on it. I got on it when it was at 5. It's at 4.5, and I'm thinking of putting more on it here.
Cooper Flagg is the big stud for Duke, and he was inefficient. He went 6-for-16 in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
I think that there's a chance that you could have one of those great games where, man, Cooper Flagg tries to take the game over, and his shot's not working because the Houston defense is so squelching, and that they end up playing really sloppy basketball, very non-Mike Krzyzewski type of basketball. It'll be the official 100%. No, that door is 100% closed.
Yes.
All right, you guys are just Duke now.
Yep.
You're not whatever Duke might used to be. Please do this for me.
Yeah, Cruz. I just don't know that they've seen anything like this defensively. So we'll see. But yeah, text in 713-572-4610. Only 5 turnovers by the Cougs. Like, it was just, man, it was a dominant performance. Really, really good to see. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. And you know who wants to weigh in? Larry and Stafford wants to weigh in on, I'm guessing, wants to weigh in on the Cougs. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, son and Seth? Hey, look, I'm going to get to the Cougs real quick. EJ Speed signing with the Texans. Nick and D'Amico are not playing, fellas. And I don't know why everybody thinks this means that it may be the end for Christian Harris and all this. D'Amico has always said that he wanted depth at linebackers. That's why when they started looking at Greenlaw and all these other dudes, they was going to always bring somebody in like they did with Devin White. Getting EJ Speed is something that I am all in on, man, because you cannot have enough dudes that can play that spot the way D'Amico wants to play football. And if all you have to do again is go back and look at San Francisco, what he was doing with the linebackers there, and you'll understand what his vision is. Now, son, Seth, look, as a longtime Houstonian, back in 1978-79, man, we was watching the rise of the Houston Oilers, and they went up to Pittsburgh, and they stole a game from us when Mike Renfro caught that touchdown. And they kept the Oilers out of the Super Bowl in 78 and 79. And that was a body blow to Houston, man, because we knew the Oilers was on their way with Earl Campbell and everybody. And so then back in 1982, then we watched Michael Jordan with North Carolina hit a shot, man, against U of H, and North Carolina took U of H out then, right? And so then in 82, 83, we saw the advent of Five Slammer Jamma and Akeem and Meesaw and Michael Young and all these boys. And the city of Houston was on fire because everybody was going over there to Pasadena, going to Gillies and drinking and cowboying and all and everything. And everything in the city was on fire. And we got our hearts ripped out in Albuquerque when North Carolina State dunked that basketball, man, and everything in the city just came to a halt. And I think that was one of the things that caused the entire city of Houston to shut down. That's why it took so long for him to get Metro Rail. That's why it took so long for him to just invest in U of H and everything. And if y'all remember, they were on the verge of closing the University of Houston down or merging it with Texas Southern and Third Ward and everything, man, because they did not believe and they did not fund that school over there in Third Ward, man, because they just was done with it. And now, as somebody who has invested a lot of money in U of H with my kids, to see that program do what they did in the NCAAs with Calvin Sampson and watching that team go out and just literally destroy Tennessee, it was one of the best things that I think could have happened to the University of Houston, because now they are a Tier 1 university. They got a medical school over there. The students are proud, and the whole city is proud about what is going on over there in Third Ward, man. And I'm just here to tell you, as somebody who's going to definitely be trying to take his ass to San Antonio to watch his boys play Duke, this is something that everybody in the city should be galvanized by, because Calvin Sampson is running a program that we can all be proud of. When you hear about NIL deals and you hear about all this transfer portal and all that other stuff, Calvin Sampson is one of them old school coaches that everybody would love for their son to play with. Fellas, I watched that game yesterday, and you saw Tennessee almost looking like they wanted to cry in the first 10 minutes, man, because you cannot emulate what U of H does on defense, and they found out the hard way after talking all that noise. Y'all get ready for your boy in there, say, man, he coming to drink, and
I appreciate you, Larry. Yeah, it's amazing what Kelvin Sampson's done. I wasn't here in the 80s for Phi Slamma Jamma. You weren't here either, Seth, for Phi Slamma Jamma. Everybody I talked to who was here says the city was on fire for them. They may as well have been a professional team here in town. And it's, you know, obviously college sports evolves a certain way, and U of H has had their journey, you know, with realignment and everything. At some point you're on the outside looking in. Now they're kind of back inside the velvet rope with the Big 12. I do wonder that, like, if the Cougs win the championship, what does the celebration look like here in Houston? Like, how on board are the, you know, I didn't go to school there. I root for them, you know, the same way I root for any other Houston team. I don't live or die by them. But I'm happy they're in the Final Four, and I'm certainly rooting for them against these other three teams in San Antonio. I'm just curious about that. Like, what is a celebration for a Cougs championship look like?
There'll be a lot more social media this time than there would have been back in
1983. Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But the parade, I guess, will be the good judge of that. I think it'll be a good healthy turnout for the parade.
Do you think there'll be a parade for it, or is it?
I don't know. Yeah. Do they do a parade on campus?
That's what
I'm thinking. Do a parade on campus.
I'm feeling like it's something that's like almost like a pep rally for the team that celebrates it.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Either at the football stadium. I think I'll say this. I don't think the Fertitta Center is big enough to hold something like that, because you've got, I'm guessing, a ton of the student body will be out there. So maybe it's a campus thing where it ends up at TDECU Stadium to allow people to celebrate it. There'll be a celebration of some sort. And there's Cougs probably mad at me even bringing this up right now. You know what I mean? Hey, what's the celebration going to look like after the Final Four?
Yeah, why are you jinxing things, man?
I don't know. I'm just articulating what's in my brain and what I'm curious about.
Have you seen any good suggestions yet for 5 reasons to hate Duke?
No, not yet. Not yet.
You gotta restoke some of the hatred for Duke. It feels like it's ebbed a little bit.
Yeah.
Since the heyday, we gotta remind ourselves how much we despise Duke.
I don't hate Cooper Flagg and John Shire nearly as much as I hate Christian Laettner and Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah. I guess you're not seeing them all over ESPN all the time the way you did back in the day.
Yes.
Back when everybody watched ESPN,
yep,
too.
Yep.
That's really the potential for hatred, really, back in the day when everybody would watch, or at least most people would watch SportsCenter at least once during the day, and college basketball was more of a national television event.
Yeah.
That you really had all year long to brew up some hatred for Duke. And now I got to be on a speed course on hatred.
Yes.
I'll find it. I'll find it.
I think you'll be fine.
I'll call up my contact at UNC to figure this thing out.
There's people saying that Larry was calling Kelvin Calvin. I think that's just the way Larry pronounces it. I think he knows it's not Calvin Sampson. I think that's just how he pronounces Kelvin.
That was like when DeAndre Hopkins tweeted out something about, what did he call them? Kyle?
He called Cal McNair Kyle.
And I'm pretty sure it was a voice to text.
I think it is.
I could see with that accent maybe just sounding a little bit like Kyle, that southern accent.
Yeah. Okay, you can get with this, Seth. There's somebody clearly a Coug on the text line. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, beating Peyton Manning's Vols and winning it in Lucas Oil Field felt pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice as a Houstonian, right?
No, it was being Tennesseans and Indianans, bunch of vile
scum. Oh, yeah, with Purdue on Friday? Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is I've got no quarrel with the state of North Carolina the way I do with the states of Indiana and Tennessee. It was nice to send them back to their cousin brides and, you know, with no basic cable packages or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, running water in some places. Texter still wants to punch Christian Leitner in the face. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. There's still some good Duke hatred out there.
That, you know what we'll get is some appearances from former Dukies during the broadcast or something.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be some love fest for somebody you hate.
Oh, that are sitting there and they go. Yeah. Tracy Wolfson goes over and interviews them and yeah. Ugh.
You know what? Speaking of San Antonio, I saw somebody tweet out a picture of Tim Duncan from a Spurs game this weekend, I guess.
How's he looking?
And they said, what's wrong with Tim Duncan? And I'm looking at the picture. I don't know. He looks like he's enjoying life. He's got braids.
Yeah, his hair's grown out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but he's from the Bahamas. I don't know. He's just doing his thing. He had his little Tim Duncan kind of semi-smile on his face sitting next to an attractive lady.
Yeah.
I feel like Tim Duncan's doing just fine.
Yeah. Not everybody has to go into broadcasting or coaching or a hedge fund or whatever. Tim Duncan, you're right. He's got that Bahamian
vibe. You don't have to be
vibe.
Dressed in the height of fashion or whatever just because you're at a game. He's just enjoying life. That's I feel it. Like I would aspire to whatever state of mind Duncan was in that moment.
Oh, my God, yeah. Jealous. Phi Slamma Jamma was awesome. This is a text. U of H now has too many lapses in the fourth quarter. You mean the second half, sir, to pick over Duke. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think they can score a little bit, this Cougs team. Have you all talked about the cheating-ass Yankees in their rocket bats yet? Yes, we have a few times today. The torpedo
except that
bats.
They're not cheating.
Yeah,
it's 100% problem. Within the rule book, and we're kind of PO'd that the Astros are late to this because it's not just the Yankees. There's multiple players on multiple MLB teams that are using those torpedo bats, which are fully within the rules, and somehow the Astros are just out there flailing around with glorified matchsticks like every other clown team in the league.
Would have been very sportsmanlike of them to do that back in the day when they were winning 105 games every year, but now they're back in the pack. Now you need edges, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so get on that, Dana Brown and company. All right, Larry mentioned EJ Speed. Let's talk about that. The Texans make a signing over the weekend. What does a linebacker competition look like on this team? And are the verbal jabs back and forth easily buried between C.J. Stroud and E.J. Speed? We will discuss coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we went deep on the E.J. Speed signing earlier in the show, but we know we've got some of you here on the back end of the show that are just getting in and have not had a chance to get takes on that yet. So, Seth, I know you did a YouTube video about this. What exactly are the Texans getting in this 1 year, up to $5 million signing of EJ Speed from the Indianapolis Colts?
EJ Speed is very athletic and he's very good against the run. He makes a lot of plays in the backfield. And if you're a Texans fan, you remember various times where he's come up and had big plays. In his first 4 years in Indianapolis, he was kind of a situational player at linebacker. He might play 20 or 30 snaps in a game and then mostly special teams. The last couple years he's had an opportunity to be a full-time starter and he's just not consistent enough to be a good, or he hasn't at least so far been consistent as a full-time linebacker. So it's intriguing because even though he's going into a seventh season, I do feel like there's upside. I think that there's a chance that maybe he comes in and through the Texans coaching staff and playing on this defense, maybe you get the best version of EJ Speed. But I don't look at it as somehow him just being penciled in as the starter. He got a 1 year $5 million contract. That tells you exactly how good he was as a linebacker the last couple of years. He's a third tier signing, but I do think there's upside there. And I think that in that linebacking core where they had a lot of injuries and or suspensions last year, they're going to find ways to use him. And even if it's only situationally, he brings playmaking ability there. And I think sometimes, especially in run situations or critical situations, whether he's starting or not, he'll probably make some big plays for the Texans.
The sense I got too, Seth, from reading his goodbye to Indianapolis and just some of the quotes, things like that, was it? I don't know that he necessarily wanted to leave Indianapolis. I think that that factors into when your market is 1 year, $3 million to $5 million bucks, whatever it may be, and you're having to go somewhere else just to get that 1 year deal. I could see though too where the Colts are looking at their defense and going, okay, we need to do some shake up here. We need to improve. We need better players. That was not a great defense last year, but I think that's sometimes a little bit telling too. Like it's
well, yeah, and it would be likely they're hoping to upgrade, and it would be a demotion for him where he goes from being a starter to if that other draft or whatever it might be that it was just time to move on. So the Cowboys and the 49ers were also in on him. Yeah. I don't know if the Texans had the best offer. I do think that the potential to do a 1 year prove it contract, if you're going to choose a place to go, I think. By now, D'Amico's got a really good reputation for, hey, guys go and play for that Texans defense, and then they get better contracts elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I think that it we'll find out if there's any details about any of the other offers. But the choice, if everything else was equal, the choice between going to the Cowboys or the Texans is a slam dunk easy decision.
No-brainer, yeah.
If you're a linebacker. Yeah, go play for D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he even said, Aaron Wilson had a piece that he posted on Click to Houston, where he got EJ Speed for a telephone interview and talked about a lot of different things with him in particular. D'Amico Ryan, the presence of D'Amico Ryans here was a huge selling factor for EJ Speed in coming to Houston. Also talked to him about the back and forth that he had with CJ Stroud over the last 12 months or so, call it. EJ Speed was one of the two Colts linebackers who had a podcast, the In the Trenches podcast with Zaire Franklin. And the Texans were a big topic on that podcast at various times throughout the year and heading into 2024, especially after 2023, where CJ beat them in a Week 18 game in Indy to make the postseason. EJ Speed, well, first, this is CJ Stroud talking about EJ Speed and some of the trash talk that had gone on. And CJ said, man, you should have made plays back when you were mad about it, playing us last season.
Like, my boy EJ Speed, but it's a ton of dudes. It's not just EJ. He with my agent, and I tell him this to his face. I don't even trip it. But, like, a lot of dudes come to these podcasts, like, oh, yeah, I'm coming to hit. I'm going to hit CJ in his face. I'm going to get him next year. Why didn't you do something? Like, where I'm from, we say, why didn't you do something where you was mad at? You was mad right there, my. Do something.
Right.
You could have made hella plays, bro. Right. You could have made plays, dog. Right. You could have shut me up right there, but you didn't.
Right.
So what make you think you're going to do it now? And right. If you do, I'm going to come back, bro, for real. This ain't for no play, bro. I'm on, like, yeah. Come on,
God,
man.
I got him in that mode.
Got me, yeah, got me, bro.
This the mode, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this the mode I've been waiting to get.
Like, I'm going to slam CJ on his head. Like,
man.
You should have did that then, bro.
Right.
Now we're going to have another opportunity, and we played them first game of the year. Ooh. I'm excited. The Colts.
Yeah.
We playing at their place. It's going to be rocking. Indy hates me already, and okay. I love it.
So there you go. I tell you, I mean, I know we're talking about EJ Speed here, Seth. The thing that jumps out about that clip to me, and that clip took place sometime after the schedule came out, obviously, sometime between the schedule coming out and the start of the season. The big thing that jumps out about me is we've heard none of anything remotely close to that from CJ Stroud this offseason so far.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, and honestly, listening back on it, and CJ was open about this at the end of this past season, about just how little he knew about how hard it is to be an NFL quarterback. They'd had that nice, promising rookie year, but then this year he really learned exactly how hard it is. Is that, man, I don't care about whether he goes on a lot of podcasts or anything, but there's almost like a level of poise from mature veteran NFL quarterbacks to where you're above a lot of stuff. And like the one exception might be Philip Rivers, but it used to drive me insane. I hated the way Philip Rivers operated, where he just acted like a high school kid almost.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer the guys that are kind of just calculating assassins. You look at the highest level of any profession, and other than in boxing, where part of it is selling the actual fight,
talking,
like there's just
seats,
kind
yeah.
of a, and they're doing that as an act, you know. I like the calm, cool, collected. I'm not going to say a thing. I'm just going to destroy you. Version of a quarterback.
Nope.
I don't know. I don't think we're going to have any sound bites like that this year.
No, I don't think so either. Here was EJ Speed in response to that on Kay Adams' podcast.
What is the bone? What is the bone to pick? Because you know you have them week one in Indy. They're coming.
Yeah, they said I didn't make any plays, so I guess I gotta put the proof in the pudding, huh?
Yeah, and CJ Stroud likes to talk.
Yeah, that's his thing now. That's his thing. He liked to pop his. Can we say that he got a right to?
Yeah. So that was EJ Speed with Kay Adams. Now this other EJ Speed cut I really like, because this is EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin earlier in the offseason. This is right after the Texans, you know, within weeks after the Texans had beat them to take a postseason spot away from them. EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin talking about how degrading it was to the Colts defense for CJ to be hitting his third progression.
Yeah, after CJ's rookie year.
Yep.
He won't even be looking at the read, and then you know he got about one more look before it get ugly for him. And then he look at your guy and you didn't plaster like, got your ass. And then this motherfucker look somewhere else and throw the ball for a completion. You like, nah.
That's what I like about CJ the
That's
most.
That's your third read. You know how degrading that is for a quarterback to hit his third read?
Yeah, it'd be nice if he had time to get to his third read.
Yeah, he had more time his rookie year.
It's
to
my
do
dream
that.
This year is that for CJ to have time to get to his third read.
Yeah.
Or have his first read be open. How about that?
That would be great too.
How about Bobby?
Yeah.
How about a little crosser or something?
Either one.
Get a little bit of easy action out there.
Yep. So that was EJ Speed. EJ Speed, the newest Houston Texan, and I'm with you. I am hopeful that playing for D'Amico Ryans gets you the best version of EJ Speed. If we were handicapping the depth chart going into Week One, Azeez Al-Shaair, obviously, if healthy, is going to be one of the starting linebackers. If you had to handicap the battle between Christian Harris, Henry Toa and EJ Speed. What's the Seth Payne sports book look like?
I can only guess and hope that Christian Harris will be 100% healthy, because it was just a wash of a season for him last year. And I think that I think it's an open competition for whoever plays next to Azeez Al-Shaair. Boy, Toa, because he has, I mean, more experience in this. I'm gonna go Toa. Harris, then Speed.
So you have Speed third amongst them, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But it's really close. It's really, really close. None of those guys are perfect candidates right now. Toa made a lot of progress, but he's got to continue to make more progress.
Yeah. Harris is the most physically talented. Like, if they're all three healthy and they all show up day... Like, if Harris shows up and I know he's healthy, then I'll go Christian Harris... It's weird the way the end of last season played out, Seth. Where he finally comes back healthy, and he came back healthy, played a ton of snaps in that first game back against Miami. Remember that? Where he came back for that game. Now that was one of the games that Azeez Al-Shaair was suspended for. So there's that. But he came back for that Miami game, played a ton. Christian Harris is who I'm talking about, and then was dinged up his ankle, but wasn't. Inactive for any of the games, in street clothes, inactive.
Yeah,
he was highly inactive. He happened to be wearing a uniform. You know, like it was just
he played three games at the end of the year. He played Miami, Kansas City, and Baltimore.
Yeah,
and then didn't play until the Chargers game.
Yeah,
so he didn't play against the Titans in the last game, and he played seven snaps in the Chargers playoff game, and he played one snap in the Kansas City game.
Yeah,
and he was. There was something, the first game against Miami, I thought he did some really nice stuff, but then the next 2 weeks, he didn't look the same, and I got to guess that it was just either a combination of endurance from not having played all season, or his calf just bothering him, because that was pretty much it for him. Really, he got three games of experience last year, and looked good in the Miami game, but the other ones, I don't think he was doing much at all.
It's crazy, man, just the total opposite of what the previous year was with Christian Harris at the end of the year. Had the pick six against the Browns in that loss to the Ravens in the playoffs. He might have been their best defensive player in that game, and then just totally out of favor by the end of the year. It's wild.
Yeah, so whatever his mysterious calf injury is, if he's 100% and he goes through OTAs and everything, I'd probably give the nod to him over Toa. Speed, in his fifth and sixth season in the NFL, had a chance to be a full-time starter. And it looked like he should have been a situational player.
Yeah.
So that's where he's a huge wild card right now. He has the potential, the physical potential, I think, to be better than that. But it's just going to have to be because it's a better scheme fit and with better coaching.
Well, and I wonder if he's going to play special teams, too. I would imagine he's going to play special teams. You know, that's another good pickup. He was a good special teams player with the Colts, for those who don't know. Had the Astros been the first to use the torpedo bats, would the narrative be the same? That's a text message coming in. No, it would be the worst thing ever to happen to baseball, and the Astros would be huge cheaters.
Yes.
Huge cheaters. Yeah.
They would be all over them, which And by the way, I think Lindor, I saw one place say that Lindor plays with a torpedo bat, and it didn't do all that hot for him over the course of three games.
No, yeah. You can't beat Arigetti, Hunter Brown, and Framber Valdez with a torpedo bat. Come on now. Mm-hmm. No way. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. Man, we got a sneaky sports night coming up here in Houston tonight for two big reasons. We will tell you what those are coming up next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Frank Reich has a job. Breaking news. We'll get to our why this is a sneaky sports night in a second. Frank Reich is going to be the interim head coach at Stanford for a year. I knew very little of this backstory here, mostly because I don't know that, like, Stanford, college football is weird now, man. Like, now that the Pac-12 is broken up, the Pac-12 schools don't mean as much to me that they're not playing each other anymore. Like, Stanford's in the ACC. It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's the dumbest thing in the history of dumb things.
Stanford and Cal play in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
It's that old Gary Larson Far Side cartoon of the kid entering the school for gifted children, and he's pushing on the door that says pull.
Yes.
That's what Stanford is doing.
Yes.
They're traveling cross-country for their hated and heated rivalries with the ACC.
With
smart nerds that just can't,
with ACC schools like Clemson, Duke, and SMU.
Troy Taylor,
also in the ACC.
So the coach of Stanford, and remember, Andrew Luck is the GM of Stanford.
Yeah,
now.
Man, he's making
Taylor,
moves.
Taylor, there are a bunch of accusations about him mistreating female staffers or interns or what have you, and including this was the person that reviewed Coach Taylor and met with him This is the gavel coming down. Quote, even during the interview with me, when talking about compliance issues, Coach Taylor's tone was forceful and aggressive.
Jeez.
Yeah. You get the picture. Now, we don't know all the story and everything, but you get the picture of a guy that just didn't want the dames telling him what to do.
That's, yeah. Listen, you broad.
Oh, what, this yeah. broad's going to come in and tell me what I can and can't say on my football team? That's going to go over real well in Stanford.
That's wild that he had a tone like that in the meeting about him having a tone like that. Yeah. You know?
So it's going to be Frank Reich.
Okay.
And on to greatness in the ACC.
That's wild. I wonder what the connection is there. You know, Frank Reich went to Maryland and obviously played in the NFL for a bunch of years and coached in the NFL for a bunch of years. And
you might know Andrew Luck from his time in Indianapolis.
That's it. His first year in Indy was Andrew Luck's last year in football.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was thinking they missed just me. Yeah, obviously. That was he kind of got screwed. Him and Baylor. Reich and Baylor just got screwed by their franchise quarterback. Deciding to retire in training camp.
Making it up to him, man. He's getting him back on the coaching grid. So Frank Reich, interim head coach at Stanford. And it sounds like there's an understanding this is just a one-year kind of keep it together sort of thing. So yeah,
Frank Reich strikes me as the last guy on earth that would mistreat a female employee. Like he's like a gentle grandfatherly type.
Yeah. Very low key. Yeah. No, I agree with you. So tonight, man, it's kind of sneaky. We get our first Rennell Blanco start of the year. You excited for a little hot Rennell Blanco action tonight?
Yes, Seth. I'm excited about with all these guys where there's questions about, okay, just exactly how do they rebound from some of the struggles of last season.
Mm-hmm.
And Rennell Blanco, who did not look awesome in spring training, and in such a way that it wasn't just, oh, he's working on some things. I mean, we saw the first appearance in spring training this year when he was pretty damn peeved when he left the mound.
Yes, yeah. You saw it up close. You were out by the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell he was agitated when he came off the field. So I guess just as Blanco, yes, I'm excited to see him. Wisniewski will be the one that I'm really intrigued by.
That'll be tomorrow, yeah.
Wisniewski is the guy that, all right, could this be the next prime example of a guy that goes through the Astros pitching car wash and turns out to be a much better pitcher than people thought he was going to be? Is this the next Charlie Morton? That's all I ask.
Yeah, man.
Wisniewski, can you just be like Charlie Morton? No big deal.
I don't think that's a huge ask. No.
I don't need him playing his guitar, though.
Where are you on the allowing yourself to get excited about Lance McCullers scale right now? McCullers, two innings yesterday, struck out the side in the first. This is just for the benefit of those who haven't seen nor heard about this. Struck out the side in the first, pitched two innings, two hits, two runs, got up to 95 on the gun.
Through
35 pitches in total in two innings.
Since we're midway through the morning on Monday and we haven't heard about any setbacks or what have you. Now, baseball writers don't typically wake up until about 11 a.m., but still. I would say I'm at a 7. I'm at a 7.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't ask me how excited I am that he's going to finish the entire season.
Right.
That would be a little bit lower. But just to see Lance McCullers in a major league uniform, in a major league ballpark, yes, I'm excited about
it. Yeah, man. It's just cool to see. I know everybody's got their feelings about Lance, about a lot of stuff that's not really his fault. Like, Lance isn't trying to go out and tear his elbow or get bone spurs every year, but
we haven't confirmed that.
Yeah, as far as we know, he's not trying to go do that. So I know every time we bring him up, people get triggered by it, but like watching Lance throw knuckle curves and watching him hit 95 on the gun yesterday was pretty damn cool at Sugar. I'm guessing he gets, I mean, it's got to be coming up pretty soon that we're going to see him again. I'm guessing he gets a couple more starts at Sugarland.
How many pitches did he pitch?
35 pitches. He's going to work his way up.
A couple more.
Yeah, at least I would say. And the Rockets get their first look at the new look Lakers tonight. So we get a look at one of the, I guess, possible playoff opponents maybe down the road for the Houston Rockets. So we get our first look at Luka and LeBron together tonight.
And we get potential drama. I'm disgusted by Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James going back and forth in the media, and yet I consume every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I hope there's some kind of salvo by Stephen A. Smith today. He might be doing it as we speak.
Oh yeah.
And that LeBron either comes out, you know what? I want LeBron to be on fire. I want this team to face Rocket. I want this Rockets team to face LeBron when he's having one of those regular season games where he just decides he's got a burr in his saddle and he's just going to get after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I think Stephen A. was going after the Suns this morning from what I saw on Twitter, or maybe last night and I saw it this morning.
Oh, so now he's, no, this will totally be, we'll definitely have Stephen A. Smith audio tomorrow, given that, all right, the Rockets just put down the Suns. He's on some, Stephen A.'s having some kind of pedestal moment about the Suns.
Yeah.
And so now the Lakers versus the Rockets. Yes, yes.
He was talking about what an utter embarrassment the Suns are. And they were last night. They lost by 39 points. And they had their two, other than after Durant twisted his ankle, they had their two best players on the floor last night. They had Devin Booker, who, by the way, I want no part of either of these guys anymore. There had been rumors about the Rockets looking to trade for Devin Booker. No thank you. I'll take ascending Jalen Green right now. And there was talk about the Rockets wanting to get in on Kevin Durant. And all I've seen from the three games I've watched of Durant against the Rockets this year, Seth, is a star player who looks totally disinterested as his team swirls around the toilet trying to compete to get into the 10 seed for the play-in. And not very well, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to get Durant to come in and show these guys what it means to be a champion.
Right.
Ah, no.
Right.
I say no.
No, no.
You flipped me. And especially, now let's see how the playoffs go. Yeah. But as of right now, I'm more and more hesitant to trade away any of their young players or any of their depth because they're so good at spreading it out across the board.
Yeah.
That the rebounding and the transition scoring and all that is where they set themselves apart. But the balance that they have and their ability to do it with multiple different lineups, I've grown to love them, Sean, in a way that I didn't think was possible.
Well, it's like
I thought my heart had closed off, but it's not.
It's
open.
That's good. You got to have an open heart, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different guy every night. Last night, Jalen Green was the best player on the floor last night. He was great. He was awesome. And we'll see if Amen Thompson plays tonight. I know he twisted an ankle again last night. Looked worse than it ended up being. He got back in the game, but I could see where that's one of those things that on a back-to-back, they take it easy on him and rest him tonight. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Hey, you were at Tillman Fertitta's place there in Lake Charles this week.
Yeah.
What's he doing now that he's going to be ambassador to Italy and he's stepping down as CEO of Landry's?
Yeah.
Do you have to spend like your pretty much whole life over in Italy doing
I've seen different things about that. I don't know. I feel like that's a question that Lopez might have an answer to when he comes in.
I thought maybe
here.
You would have talked to one of the dealers or something there this weekend and they could have clued you in.
They didn't clue me in. We did talk about Tillman stepping away from Landry's. I did talk about that with some of the dealers. They didn't seem overly worried about it. They certainly were not like, well, ding dong, the witch is dead. We're out from underneath that guy's thumb or anything.
Well, it's a big enough organization that it's not like Tillman can physically possibly be out micromanaging everything.
Yeah, he's not a pit boss. You know what I mean? Like, he's not. Tillman, changing 200. it was. They seem okay with it there. But I've seen Seth, again, this is off the internet. But I've seen where it's a majority of the year he's got to spend over there as the ambassador.
Not that it's bad to spend a bunch of time in Italy, I'm sure, especially as a billionaire.
No,
If I were a billionaire, I might not chafe too much. I'd be like, oh, 9 months a year at Lake Como. All right, I guess.
I can't imagine knowing how passionate Tillman is about his business empire, knowing that he built it from one restaurant up to what it's become today. I just have a hard time believing that he's unplugged on a day-to-day basis from something he built from scratch like that.
You know what? He might end up being more of a micromanager while he's in Italy because he might lean... Maybe he's been a guy who's always been more old school. Like, I don't want to rely on checking in on people in video and everything.
Yeah.
Where now he's just going to be parked in front of a console of monitors watching the floors of all his restaurants and casinos and everything.
Through the eye of the sky? Tillman, what are you doing? Just
somebody
watching.
Walks in, he's like, Tillman, what about this tariff? And he's doing that Italian thing with his hand. And Tillman's like, scram.
Get out of here. Yeah. I'm watching my blackjack tables, all right?
Vamos, or whatever you say over here.
Whatever you say. I know this is Astros country. This is a text to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. But we have Red Sox ties with Breggy there. Have you all mentioned Rafael Devers' absolutely miserable time at DH with a .000 batting average? We did.
We have.
We mentioned it in Acknowledge Me. We even posed the question to Devers, are you having fun DHing right
now?
Nope. Not having fun.
He's pretty emphatic about it.
No.
He doesn't like a single thing about it. So I don't hope for misery out of Alex Bregman nearly as much as I do for Kyle Tucker. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is. I just, and I'm not going to try to justify it. I just want Kyle Tucker to fail. Now, it got off to a good start because Kyle Tucker had a bad spring training and then a really bad first few games.
Yeah.
But then this weekend, he went on a tear.
Turned it back up, yeah.
Home run in each of his games. He was he had five RBIs. He had a good – so he's up to a 250 batting average.
Okay, yeah. I think he's going to be fine, unfortunately for you, Seth. I know that that was – I think Kyle Tucker's going to be okay.
I painted out to him, it's kind of like when you buy a lottery ticket, you start believing the fantasy a little too much. And I had Cam Smith hitting 400 on the season.
I know.
With Kyle Tucker walking away from the team. That's just walking out of the clubhouse in a dispute over something.
That's my biggest fear early in the season, that in like 2 weeks, all of our Cam Smith takes from the last 7 days are going to look really, really dumb. I hope that's not the case.
Oh, no, as opposed to our clean slate of not looking stupid about any other
slates.
No,
it's not about us looking stupid. It's about how important he is to the future of the organization. You know what I mean?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, look, if you look at the way Espada's operating, all right, all these guys are going to get some playing time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want to work Chaz in. Chaz comes in as a defensive replacement. He played right field. Wait, was he right or center on Saturday?
Center,
thank you.
Center, there you go.
And they're all DiZenzo. It's gonna be like a defensive line just rotating. Sean.
There you go. You heard Reggie Adetula's voice. John Lopez is here as well. Do either of you know how much time Tillman Fertitta is required to spend in Italy and or San Marino as the ambassador to both of those locales?
I do not.
You don't.
But don't they give him a house there?
What's that?
They get a house there.
I'm sure they do.
They get, you know, the secure.
If they don't, facility. He can buy one. I mean, you know, he's doing all right. Do you happen to know, Reggie?
I don't have a number, but I'd imagine it's a good amount considering, like, it's not just him by himself. Like, he also has, you know, I guess subordinates that he's kind of coordinating.
Oh,
and
he's
basically the envoy there.
Okay.
Communicating the president's wishes or what have you.
I wonder if this is his way of getting a foothold to open a Golden Nugget in Milan or something like that. In Rome.
Why not?
Golden Nugget,
maybe
Rome.
Go over there and just restaurants in general. Teach those Italians how to cook.
Yeah, notoriously poor.
Janky-ass culinary cesspool that it is.
They will love that, the Italians. If I know Italians, they're going to love an American coming over.
They like being told what to do, yes.
Let me tell you how to make sauce. Let me tell you how to make sauce.
That's right.
Ambassadors, according to AI, ambassadors usually live in the foreign country where they're assigned to, but they also travel extensively to complete their work and represent their home country.
Okay.
The thing about Tillman is that he can fly home on the weekends if he wants.
Right.
You know, like most ambassadors aren't in a position in life where they can just hop in a private jet to go home for a couple days on the weekend.
Yep, that's right. And he's hanging on to the Rockets, though.
Yes,
the Rockets, he's still going to be running the Rockets, even though Patrick, I think, does most of the heavy lifting on a daily basis. How you guys doing?
Terrific. How's
fun weekend?
Good weekend.
Yeah. How we feeling about the Final Four?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I don't mind the one seeds.
No, I don't either. All these people, like, no Cinderella's. The tournament's going to die. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're not allowed to watch this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
Don't watch.
It's going to die with no Cinderella's. You can't watch this weekend, Stephen A. Smith. What's the question of the day today?
All right.
Everyday things that should be banned, like the tush push.
Everyday things.
Just ban them.
I'll tell you what. I don't want this thing to be banned, but I'm getting way less laissez-faire in terms of local government when it comes to electric bicycles. Because
oh yes,
what the hell?
Yeah,
we need some rules and regs on these things, man. Because I've had it up to here, and it's not just Houston; it's any city you go to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, some guy just flew by at 35 miles per hour on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
it's getting kind of scary.
Okay.
Damn it.
Anything involving regular bicycles becomes a very dicey proposition.
Yep,
I'm not a bicyclist at all. It's the lanes that they've created for bikes only, which have a gigantic curb next to them.
Yes,
and
love
really
them.
Eats into them. Well, I don't, and it really eats into the real estate that allows, you know, cars to be on and whatnot.
Well,
as somebody who's been hit by a vehicle twice while riding a bicycle in Houston, I am I'm all for them. I'm cool with the bike.
You just need to bike better. You just need to bike. Be better at biking.
I used to bike a lot. I haven't in years. But the thing that I hate the most is usually on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, They just decide that that lane is theirs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's an actual car lane. They said, you know what? This one, we're going to take it. This is ours.
I mean, they're not going to hit all of us, are they?
I'm treading lightly on this because of all the things that get brought up on the air. The most divisive thing, other than politics, it would seem like you could bring up on the air, is biker versus non-biker takes on who owns what on the streets there. You know,
the weirdest thing about it, though, too, is that people like try to, before anybody ever says a thing about it, they turn it into some kind of an environmental debate or something.
I'm like,
I drive a big pickup when I'm not on my bike. Leave me alone. Yeah, stop calling me homophobic slurs from your window. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, like rolling coal on me. Like, all right, great, fine.
I don't know that. I don't know that this fits the motif of your question.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal and people do it, and I wish they'd stop doing it. This sound okay. People that post their injuries or wounds on social media.
100% Nobody wants
to
see that.
Does this fit that question?
Yes.
I mean, it's legal.
No one wants to see that.
Why do you do that,
giant
people?
Scars
Look
across
at this
their
gigantic axe wound that I inflicted on myself on my calf.
Yes.
Like,
Yeah. We got a bunch of them.
Seth looks like he's thinking about that. Have you done that, Seth? Have I insulted your people?
No. I am thinking. I don't like seeing. No, I've gotten queasier as I've gotten older. I've passed out. I got queasy the other day and almost passed out when my father-in-law was showing me this partially severed finger.
Yeah.
It's healed. It's healed, but I just like, and you remember I had that incident where I passed out in the doctor's office a couple years ago and they were explaining my hernia surgery to me. So yeah, no, I don't, but I don't want to ban it. I just want to be less soft. I don't know what happened to me.
Seth, it's not even looking at it. It's having it described to him.
Yeah. Well, that's because Seth has a vivid imagination.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like I've turned into a Victorian lady. I'm just like,
All right.
The vapors.
Yes.
The vapors. Wow.
Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a jagged hatchet. Never mind.
Okay.
Good day.
Yeah, good day. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KILT, AM, KLT, FM, HD2, Houston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.